Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, February 22nd, 2023, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for one more day of freedom that you've given to us in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, third time's a charm, at least for Karina. Tell Chris I kept his present, it's mine now. No, just kidding. I sold it. 3 strikes and you're out, but on the third pitch, here she is. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's a shame that the chapter division was made where it was. Actually, it should start at 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17 and 18. That should be the first 2 verses of this chapter. 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18 presents the unique spiritual life of the church age, totally unique to the dispensation we live in. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17, now the Lord is the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, spiritual freedom. God the Holy Spirit provides the spiritual freedom for us to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. Verse 18, we all, royal family of God, with an unveiled face, spiritual freedom, positional freedom in union with Jesus Christ, provided by the baptism of the Spirit, experiential freedom, provided by the filling of the Holy Spirit, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and are being transformed into the same image from glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, to glory, Christ being formed in you, just as from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Because of this tremendous unveiling glory in the church age, remember the age of Israel, the fading glory. They had the Mosaic Law, but it was a fading glory. We live in the church age, and we have this increasing glory. Because of this tremendous increasing and unveiling of glory, the unique spiritual life of this dispensation, the church age believer becomes transformed from glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, to glory, Christ being formed in you. We keep on having, as a result of this, a ministry. Never before in all of human history, where every single believer has this unique spiritual life, and because of that, we all are in full-time Christian service, and we all have a ministry. Every one of you. Really, I hear Christians all the time, well, you know, the pastor, he's in full-time Christian service. The evangelist, he's in full-time Christian service. Well, you are. Every one of you. You all are in full-time Christian service because of the dispensation we live in and the unique spiritual life given to us. The universal indwelling of God, the Holy Spirit, never occurred before. Why? So that we could all be filled and empowered by God, the Holy Spirit. Why do we have to be filled and empowered by God, the Holy Spirit? Because God has given us a ministry. We all are in full-time Christian service. And then 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Because of this, because of 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18, because of this unique spiritual life of the church age, since we keep on having this ministry, we keep on having this ministry, 2 Corinthians 4, 1. Just as we have received mercy, grace, and action, we do not lose heart. The very first unique spiritual life ever given was given by God the Father to the Lord Jesus Christ in His hypostatic union. This unique spiritual life was lived by the Lord Jesus Christ in His true humanity 100% of the time through the filling of the Spirit. The ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ was totally unique. That unique ministry was to carry out the incarnation plan of God the Father, fulfill Operation Grace, the cross. Now, this unique spiritual life has been given to every church age believer, which means every member of the royal family of God also has a ministry. The church age is the only dispensation in human history where every believer is in full-time Christian service. This is the only dispensation in human history where every believer is indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. The universal indwelling of the Spirit is the basis of operation for the filling of the Spirit. The filling of the Holy Spirit, combined with maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart, is the divine power and grace necessary to fulfill our ministry. The ministry involves many different things. We'll be seeing that in our study of 2 Corinthians 4. It includes being a royal priest, representing yourself before God. This is the only dispensation in all of human history where every believer is a priest. And not just a priest, but a royal priest. There was the specialized priesthood in the age of Israel, the Levitical priesthood. Only a few people were priests. But here, in this dispensation, for the first time in all of human history, every single believer is a priest, a royal priest. And it includes, along with other things, we'll be studying these, being a royal ambassador for Jesus Christ. That is a part of every one of you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Not just the pastor, not just the evangelist. Every single one of you are a royal ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a part of your unique ministry as a part of this spiritual life that God has given to us. As you live this unique spiritual life by the spiritual skills, virtue love is brought to completion in your heart. Personal love for God the Father, the great motivational virtue, motivates impersonal love for all mankind, functional virtue, as well as occupation with Jesus Christ. As virtue love is brought to completion in your heart, you will have maximum impersonal love for all, grace righteous production, the Royal Family Honor Code, and Christian service, a ministry. And in our context, that ministry is a ministry of reconciliation or witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through 7, in this paragraph, that part of our ministry that is being emphasized in 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 7, is witnessing for Jesus Christ, or the ministry of reconciliation. Every church-age believer has been appointed a royal ambassador. Our ministry as a royal ambassador is to present the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. In 2 Corinthians 4, 2, we have three things that our ministry of witnessing for Christ must totally avoid. First of all, it must totally avoid things that are hidden because of shame. That is, living in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. It means to avoid or do not use deception in your ministry. It includes avoiding or do not distort the Word of God in your ministry. Do not teach a false gospel. What is the false gospel? Salvation by works. And you hear it here over and over and over again. I listen, and out there, even in so-called doctrinal camps, there is no grace gospel. Many times, it is a false gospel of salvation by works. The devil is a genius. He's smarter than, I know it's hard for you to realize, smarter than everybody in here. Everybody in here. Put together. Put all of our brains together. And Satan is a super genius, smarter than all of us. And so what does he do? He takes the grace gospel that God has provided and he just twists it. He uses many times the very same terminology. People will talk about Jesus Christ. And they'll talk about this and that and the other thing. And then all of a sudden, here comes the works. They'll mention believing in Christ, but that's only part of it. And you know, some of you have been around some of these people. And you, when you first meet them and sit down with them, well, you think, here is a great believer. Here is a great Christian. And you sit and you listen and they mention Jesus Christ and you go, oh, this is great, you know. And they mention the Bible and, oh, this is great. And then all of a sudden, and then they'll add in, these are Lordship Salvation people. And Lordship Salvation is a false gospel. Not one person will be in heaven if you think you have to make Christ Lord of your life. Not one of you. No one. And it's all a system of legalism and works and false gospel. And Lordship Salvation spread through the state of California, first of all, and now swept over fundamentalism, everywhere in fundamentalism. It is evil, it's satanic, it is a false gospel, It's adding works. You add one work to the work of Christ for salvation, it's a false gospel. And some of these so-called doctrinal fundamental people, they sound great, and one time I was confronted, and they were showing me what they wanted me to present to you all, and it was pure false gospel, total unadulterated false gospel. And I said, no, absolutely not. And I'm not around to compete with anybody. I graduated from Dallas Seminary. I was ordained at Baraka Church by Colonel R.B. Thame. And I considered him the greatest communicator of the Word of God in our nation. And I certainly never, ever entered my mind not one time to try to compete with him in anything. We have out here all kinds of the doctrinal books that he wrote and presented. And I'm not here to reinvent the wheel. But when I had people that came here and said, Pastor Olson, you need to write a grace gospel booklet because it's almost impossible to get the grace gospel and hear it today. And I kept saying, no, I'm not interested in that. No, I'm not interested in competing with anybody or anything. Or and then this happened. And once that happened, I said, that's it. And I said, these are supposed to be people that know better. And they don't. And they're communicating a false gospel, and that was it. And one fellow said, you know what you present to the congregation when you're teaching the gospel? He said, the gospel isn't 30 pages long. It isn't 40 pages. It isn't 100 pages. The gospel is short. You can put it in just a couple of pages. Just put down what you communicate. They said, I never hear the grace gospel communicated any clearer than is communicated here. I said, okay, just put what you communicate and teach all the time. So I did. And so we got that little purple book. The little purple book. God's gift of love to the world, Jesus Christ. And I wrote that, and I left that in God's hands. I'm not trying to compete with anybody or anything. But God used that, and that has gone all over the world. And if some of you are creatures of habit. You come in the same door. You sit in the same seat. You come through the same door here. You are creatures of habit. Some of you have never even gone down to this end of the church. Most of you don't even know where my office is. That's fine. I'm not wanting you to come in there and sit on my lap or anything. But if you come down on this side, there's a map there where that little purple book, and I affectionately call that, has gone all over the world. All over the world. And you'll see even pictures of people in Africa, India, the Philippines, Honduras, all over the world, holding that purple book. And that's the grace gospel. God, only God does that. That is, whatever happens with that is totally the grace and power of God. It has nothing to do with me at all. It's totally the grace and power of God. But this is one of the most important things, and this is, Satan knows that. He knows this is one of the most important things. And so he takes the grace gospel and just twists it a little bit and adds a work. And if any person thinks that they're going to be saved by that work that they do, they're not saved. And that's exactly what the devil wants. They're not saved, and they will be in the lake of fire with him forever and ever and ever. If you think that by you doing one thing, whether it's making Christ Lord of your life or being baptized or joining a church or whatever it is, you think because you did that, you're going to be in heaven? You won't be in heaven. You have no salvation. Salvation is by grace. For by grace you are saved through faith. And this salvation is not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You do the work, you get the glory. God does the work, and God did the work. God gets the glory. God the Father planned it. God the Son executed it. God the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. And all you can do is place your faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross. That's it. But you add to that one work, no salvation. So 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2, we have three things that our ministry of witnessing for Christ must totally avoid: things hidden because of shame, living in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance, and interlocking systems of hatred. We must not use deception. We must not distort the word of God. We must not teach a false gospel, salvation by works. And in 2 Corinthians 4:2, we also have what our ministry of witnessing for Christ must be: the proclamation of the absolute truth of the grace gospel. Eternal salvation is by grace. Grace alone, faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. So to fulfill your ministry of witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ, you must be living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. You must be filled with the Spirit. You must have pertinent, metabolized doctrine about the grace gospel in your soul. It is impossible to fulfill your ministry of witnessing for Christ if you are living in Satan's cosmic system. There is no virtue in Satan's cosmic system. There is no virtue, no honor, no grace, no truth, no filling of the Spirit, no impersonal love for all in Satan's cosmic system. So 2 Corinthians 4 verse 2 says, "But we have renounced the secret and shameful ways of the cosmic system, not walking, not living in the sphere of deception, the cosmic system, not serving our own arrogant, selfish ends, nor falsifying and distorting the word of God. On the contrary, by means of the open proclamation of the absolute truth of the grace gospel, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." One, when you witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, you are witnessing in the sight of God. When you witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, you are witnessing in the sight of God. Two, as royal ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ, we witness as unto the Lord. And since you are witnessing in the sight of God, you don't have to run around and tell everybody that you witness for Christ today. Three, you witness in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord knows it, and you know it, and really, that's all that really counts. You witness in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord knows it, and you know it, and that is all that really counts. Now, there is nothing wrong with telling others that you gave the gospel to someone and or that they believed in Christ. That's fantastic. Just don't let it become a bragamony. That'd be a good wordle word, bragamony, but that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9-letter wordle, I don't think I want to get into that. That is, don't make an issue out of yourself. Make an issue out of the grace and power of God. It's not you, it's the grace and power of God. Four, when virtue love is brought to completion in your heart, the issue will be the grace and power of God. Not you. Not who and what you are. And what you are doing for God. When virtue love is brought to completion in your heart, the issue will be the grace and power of God, not who and what you are and what you are doing for God. Five, personal love for God the Father motivates impersonal love for all, and that includes fulfilling a ministry of witnessing to all kinds of unbelievers. All kinds. The good, the bad, the ugly. Boy, in the time in which we live today, there's a lot more ugly. I see more ugly than anything else out there. And we live in a society, for some reason, that your skin is supposed to display all kinds of things. Tattoos. Down your neck, down your back, down your arm, down the other arm, down your leg, down your other leg, on your stomach. I don't want to see if they got tattoos in some of these places. And I guess they must think it really handsome. In my vocabulary, that puts the ugh in ugly. So I come from the old school, and it's getting older all the time. Yeah, it's the old school. I also can read the Word of God, and the Word of God doesn't say anything positive about tattoos. It says things negative about it, but nothing positive about it. And I know Christians who, well, in World War II, got tattoos, and then they became Christians and grew up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and they studied the Word of God about that, and then they went and tried to get them removed. And they discovered it's almost impossible to get them removed. So this brings us 2 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. Let's look at it one more time. Because of this, because of 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18 and the unique spiritual life that's been given to us in the church age, since we keep on having this ministry, just as we have received mercy, grace in action, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the secret and shameful ways of the cosmic system, not living, not walking in the sphere of deception, serving our own purposes and ends, nor falsifying, distorting the word of God. On the contrary, by means of the open proclamation of the absolute truth of the grace gospel, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Okay. The doctrine of witnessing. Now our whole paragraph, 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 7, is looking at the ministry of witnessing for Jesus Christ as members of the royal family of God in the church age. Point one is introduction. Point one, introduction. Every believer in Jesus Christ is in full-time Christian service. That never happened before in all of human history, only in the dispensation we live in. Every believer in Jesus Christ is in full-time Christian service. It's not a matter of dedication. It's not a matter of dedication to full-time service, but simply a matter of believing in Christ. There are five categories of full-time Christian service. This is still a part of introduction. Five categories of full-time Christian service. First of all, Christian service related to your spiritual gift. Now, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, every one of us have at least one spiritual gift. We might have two or three or four. But we all have at least one spiritual gift given to us. And Christian service is related to your spiritual gift. Now, the only people that absolutely have to pin down and nail what that spiritual gift is the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. He has to know absolutely. Now, I believed in Christ between my junior and senior years of high school. I did not know that I had the gift of pastor-teacher. Let's see, senior year, then first year, second year. About 3 years later that I realized that I even had the gift of pastor-teacher. Never entered my mind. And it never entered my mother's mind. Never entered my brother's mind. Never entered anybody's mind that I had the gift of pastor. Except Pastor Breckel. He told me he realized I had the gift for a long time. But he couldn't say anything and he wouldn't say anything. He said, only God can make that clear to you. So there's two gifts that you have to know that you have it, and that's the gift of pastor-teacher and the gift of evangelism. Now, all the rest of them, you don't have to know that you have that spiritual gift. Now, you may come to know it. That's great. I see the gifts work in here, and I've seen it ever since I've been here. And it's beautiful to see. And a lot of I know the gifts that certain people have had in the ministry here. They're amazing, amazing gifts. The gift of helps. The gift of helps is an amazing spiritual gift. And I see it. I've seen it in this church for years and years and years. The gift of showing mercy. I have seen that. It's awesome. Absolutely amazing. The gift of showing mercy. And I would always see the people that had that, they were always, when somebody was having trouble or difficulty or whatever, they were right there with grace orientation function and politeness and kindness and compassion. And I just watched it. It was just beautiful to see. And they were constantly doing it. And they probably never even knew that they had the gift of showing mercy. But I knew they had the gift of showing mercy. It was fantastic. So all the spiritual gifts can be involved in witnessing for Christ. The pastor, teacher, the evangelist. Administration gifts. And that's the gift to be a deacon. Now, all the first three gifts, pastor, teacher, evangelist, and administration, are all given to men only. But these also are involved in witnessing for Christ. And then there's the gift of service. Actually, it can mean, it's diakonia, it means ministry or service. This can be men or women. And God uses them, men or women in a local church. They would be like the head of a committee or the head of evangelism. And I'm going to probably embarrass Jamie back here, but I know she has this gift. She has this gift of diakonia, ministry, service. And she's taken up the evangelism team and does a fantastic job. All the time I've been here, absolutely phenomenal job. And it's mostly because she has the gift of gab and she just likes to talk to people. And she loves to get in front of people and just talk, talk, talk. I can't get her to shut up, you know, that kind of thing. No, actually, she's just the opposite, and she operates totally by the grace and power of God. And she contacts people all over Southern Nevada. And the evangelism team winds up going in and presenting the grace gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's been going on again and again and again. And I see that, and it's just awesome. That's the gift of diakonia, service or ministry. Both men and women have that. The gift of help, the gift of showing mercy, the gift of giving. All of these gifts, all the spiritual gifts, of the permanent gifts, of course the temporary gifts are gone. But the permanent gifts, all the spiritual gifts can be involved in witnessing for Jesus Christ. So Christian service is related to your spiritual gift. And you all have at least one spiritual gift, maybe more than one. Secondly, Christian service related to your royal priesthood. Christian service related to your royal priesthood. Every believer is a priest, a royal priest. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. Excuse me, 1 Peter chapter 1. Excuse me, 1 Peter chapter 2. Amen, amen, amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Peter 2, 5. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now look over at verse 9, 1 Peter 2, 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the virtues, arete, the virtues of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful life. So Christian service is related to our royal priesthood. 1 Peter 2, 5 and 9. Now there are three areas of Christian service related to our priesthood. First of all, giving, and that's grace giving. Intercessory prayer. And living the unique spiritual life of the church age. So there are three areas of Christian service related to our royal priesthood: grace giving, intercessory prayer, and living the unique spiritual life of the church age. Three, Christian service is related to our royal ambassadorship. It's related to our royal ambassadorship. Every believer is an ambassador, a royal ambassador, representing Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. 2 Corinthians 5, we're in 4. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18 to 20. 2 Corinthians 5, 18. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. And then he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That's what we're studying in 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 7. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. So we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Christian service related to our royal ambassadorship includes witnessing or personal evangelism. Witnessing or personal evangelism. It includes missionary function, which includes evangelism. It includes spiritual gift function. And it includes serving in many categories of Christian organizations and groups. When I was at Washington State University, God brought me there to go, really, I thought he was taking me to Washington State to run hurdles, but no, he took me to Washington State. Well, I ran hurdles, but he took me there to go to Bethany Bible Church. Pastor Ron Breckel is the pastor. He took me there so I could grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and come to that point of spiritual adulthood that I knew I had the gift of pastor-teacher. That's why he brought me there. Now, there were several organizations on campus. One of them, Campus Crusade for Christ. And Pastor Breckel, what so great, they came to Pastor Breckel and talking to him, and he just set them down. He says, all right, I want you to know, you're not a local church. God's ordained classroom is the local church. You're not a local church. Now you can be, if you function as an evangelistic arm of the church, great. You need to be in here growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Those people you give the gospel to and believe in Christ, they need to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So if you want to function as an evangelistic arm of this local church, great, welcome aboard. If you want to think you're a local church, then no, you're out of here. Go find somebody else, some other church. Well, they all responded in humility. Campus Crusade for Christ at Washington State University, every staff member was in Bethany Bible Church. Every one of them. They were there every night. There was Bible class. They were growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And they grew up in doctrine there. They understood the spiritual life. They went out by the grace and power of God all over the campus. And Washington State University was revolutionized by Jesus Christ through the grace and power of God, through the ministry of Campus Crusade for Christ. That campus was turned upside down for Jesus Christ. There was a spiritual awakening. And Bethany Bible Church, and which started out with about 10 people in it. Well, and there were still only 10 adults. It wasn't the adults. It was the college kids. The church filled up with college kids. The entire church. Then they built a balcony, and there was a church, and the balcony was filled up with college kids. There were no adults, and the adults weren't interested in God or the Word of God, but the college students were. So then they took out a wall and had a side room where they could still get the communication from Pastor Breckel. That was filled up. We got to the point where I heard Pastor Breckel say one time, well, we could open the windows and have you sit in the windows, but if you fall out and break your neck, I can't resuscitate you. So there was a spiritual revival at Washington State University, and Campus Crusade for Christ was an evangelistic arm of the local church, Bethany Bible Church, with Pastor Breckel as pastor. And as those Campus Crusade for Christ people grew up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, well, guess what? They realized they had the gift. Some of them had the gift to pastor teacher. They went on to seminary. They realized they had gift of evangelism, went into missionary activity. One of them went over to Italy and was the missionary to Italy. And it was beautiful to see. And finally, the head staff member called up Campus Crusade headquarters and said, There's no need for Campus Crusade for Christ to be here at Washington State University because the local church is doing its job. It's doing its job. So there's no need for Campus Crusade for Christ to be here because the local church is doing its job. Well, I was involved with Campus Crusade for Christ when I was at Washington State University. The four spiritual laws, what they had. And by the way, if you're a baby believer, the four spiritual laws are great. They keep you, stay right with the gospel. But as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, there isn't just one way that you give the gospel. When I was a baby believer, adolescent believer, why, I stuck right to the four spiritual laws. I gave hundreds and hundreds of the four spiritual laws out all over campus. I was sitting down with all kinds of people. People that were from America, people that were from Pakistan. One fellow I sat down from Pakistan at the library. I said, mind if I talk to you about some of the most important thing in my life? It's Jesus Christ. And went through the four spiritual laws, and he up against the library, he believed in Jesus Christ. He was from Pakistan. And then he says, he was so excited that he believed in Christ, he says, will you come over to my house and I'll fix you a dinner? And I said, well, sure. I went over to his house, and he loved curry. I like hot, so curry was great. And he says, you like curry? I said, love it. Pile it on, all kinds of curry. And we had dinner at his house. And that campus was turned upside down for Jesus Christ, a spiritual revival. And it was all the kids in Bethany Bible Church, all the kids. And once they grew up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, they took the gospel out all over the campus. And it was amazing to behold. It doesn't happen that often, but there was tremendous positive volition right there. So, Christian service related to your royal ambassador includes witnessing, personal evangelism. It can include missionary function, spiritual gift function, and serving in many categories of Christian organizations and groups such as Campus Crusade for Christ or Navigators. 4, there is Christian service related to invisible impact for Christ. Christian service related to invisible impact for Christ. This is the ultimate in Christian service. Because we have a phenomenal testimony to billions of angels. Billions of angels. The Bible says they're stretching their neck, looking at what's going on, watching us and learning. Phenomenal testimony to billions of angels, as well as those angels in our own periphery. And there are angels in here right now. All kinds of angels. I wish I could say, angels, show yourself. Probably scare the hell out of you. Scare the crap out of you. We don't want that to happen. Everybody has a guardian angel. When I was at Bethany and Pastor Breckel was teaching on angels, and I learned that I had a guardian angel, and I thought, I can't believe it. I have a guardian angel all this time. I didn't even know I had a guardian angel. And I'm taking a shower on my dorm floor, taking a shower, and I'm in there thinking about Bible class. And guardian angel, geez, I got a guardian angel, probably right in here now, probably laughing at me, I don't know. And taking a shower, and I go, geez, I don't even know his name. So I haven't even said hi to him. So I go, hi, I talked out loud, hi, guardian angel. And there was a guy in the stall next to me, he goes, what? What'd you say, Olson? I go, never mind, I'm just talking to my guardian angel. So that, obviously they thought that I didn't. I slipped a few pegs. But there, you all have a guardian angel. And you're here tonight because that guardian angel saved your bacon. Again and again and again and again. He did that for you. So you have a phenomenal testimony, an invisible impact to the angels. And then five, Christian service related to your job. Your function in life is part of your full-time Christian service. So all that was introduction, point one. Now point two, definition and description. Point two, definition and description. There are three categories of evangelism. Witnessing includes the spiritual gift of evangelism. Witnessing includes the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. Witnessing includes the function of every believer as a royal ambassador. As a royal ambassador for Jesus Christ, you have a sphere of Christian service related to witnessing. Your spiritual gift is not an issue in witnessing, for witnessing for Jesus Christ is the responsibility of every believer. Turn over to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Acts 1 verse 8, Jesus Christ is teaching, but you will receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus Christ was announcing the beginning of a new dispensation, the church age. And it would have the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Spirit, divine power to carry out your ministry. You are all have a ministry, full-time Christian service. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Ephesians 6:15, it's a part of the armor of God. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 20, you are royal ambassadors for Christ. 2 Timothy 4:5, do the work of an evangelist. Subpoint 2, the church age believer has two areas of responsibility in witnessing for Christ. Church age believer has two areas of responsibility in witnessing for Christ. The witness of the life and the witness of the lips. The witness of the life and the witness of the lips. And oftentimes, the witness of your life will open the door so that you can present and witness from your lips the grace gospel. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 3:3. 2 Corinthians 3:3. 2 Corinthians 3:3. You demonstrate that you are a letter from Christ. This is your life. This is the witness of your life. You show or manifest that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. You're living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. You're living by the grace and power of God. And that your life, when you're living your life by the grace and power of God, the unbeliever sees it. He sees it, and it has open doors. And we've seen it. This church has seen it. Most of the people in this church have seen that. Now, I have always loved to hunt. Hunting has always been fun for me. From the time I was just a little shaver, I went hunting with my dad and uncle, and I always loved to go hunting and fishing. And when I came here, one thing I thought about when I came, God brought me to Las Vegas. Why would you bring me to Las Vegas? I love to hunt and fish. This is a desert. I don't want to hunt lizards. And I thought, this is a goofy place. Actually, this is the greatest state in the Union. The greatest state in the Union has the best hunting, the best fishing in the whole, well, maybe Alaska. Close second, Alaska. No, I'm just kidding. And I took most of the church here hunting and fishing. And one time we were way up in the northern part of Nevada, Dufferina Ponds, natural hot spring. Not hot spring that was put into a pool, a swimming pool. Natural hot spring swimming pool. And here's our whole group in there swimming and having a glass of champagne, having a great time. And some other people that were there hunting as well, they came over and they're just watching. They're just watching. And then they started talking. They said, "You people have something. You people have something that we would like to have, but we don't have. What is it that you have?" And then, "We're Christians. We believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior. We have a personal relationship with the living and true God." And because they saw the witness of the life, they wanted to hear about Jesus Christ, and we gave them the gospel. So it started out with the witness of the life, and then it went to the witness of the lips. 2 Corinthians 3:3. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. The witness of the lips, then, is the royal family communicating the gospel to an unbeliever on a personal basis. It is personal evangelism. It is informal, conversational, whereby one individual communicates the gospel to another individual. So the church age believer has two areas of responsibility in witnessing for Christ. The witness of the life. And when you're living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, when the virtue love is brought to completion in your heart, the unbeliever will see that because it's so rare. It's so rare. And when you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart from living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, that is the witnessing of your life. And that will open doors for you to witness with your lips and present the grace gospel. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.